Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Free Fire Radio, right here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, everybody. It is the 10th of October, 7:05 in the morning. News is always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring compassion community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and our phone lines here are 530-605-4567, because I'm going to be giving away some tickets today to a play over at Shasta College called A Doll's House. So we'll be giving away those tickets and a little bit later on in the show. But good morning, Christina.
Very good morning.
How are you?
Doing good.
I know. Christina works at a TV station here in town, and last night was, writing updates on the hurricanes?
Yes, kind of, with special reports, and so we was having to stay longer.
Yeah.
Okay. Over longer.
Do we have a national day?
Yes, we do. Today it looks like National Decorating Cake Day.
Decorating Cakes Day.
Yes, it's really close to me, so I'm happy with that. And also today is National Walk to the Park Day.
Walk to the Park Day.
Yes.
Okay, Walk to the Park Day. All right.
Since we're dog owners, I think it can be our day.
Of course. Hey, today mostly sunny with a high near, 86. And a low around 61 tonight. Now, the rest of the week, it's going to be, like that. Partly sunny tomorrow. And we are starting to get a chance for showers. And on Friday evening and Saturday, 40% chance of showers on Saturday with a high near 77. Sunday, it's going to be sunny. And Columbus Day, sunny. And, the mid-80s. And then Monday night, a low of 59. Whoa, isn't that going to be great? Windows are open, covers piled on, dog gets in the middle. Tuesday, sunny with a high near 80, and Wednesday, another slight chance of showers. So it looks like really a nice week. It's going to be cooling off. We've got a chance for showers, clear up the streets and the dust, and it's going to be a good week. And the weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a family-owned business. Locally owned, locally operated out of Anderson. They've been in the business 30 years. The Kenny family, it's their third generation that are working at Shasta Gas Propane. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Good people there. 530-365-3793. I'm here with Mark Mazzano, Reading City Councilman.
Good morning.
Running not for reelection for 4 years. He's running for the 2-year spot.
You're absolutely correct.
This is kind of like, I'm not going to sign a 4-year contract. I'm going to sign a 2-year contract at the end of that, though, you can run again if that's what you want.
Sure.
Okay. With, if there's a signing bonus.
There you go.
Okay. Okay. Something I'm concerned about, and I think everybody is, we've had 7 homicides in Reading, including this last horrific thing. Those 2 men were shot and killed. They've arrested both, the one that was shooting and his accomplice. The accomplice seems to have been involved in the shooting back in March. And was turned loose. He did not shoot anybody, but he did threaten people with a pistol. And at a fast food place, apologized to the employees, paid them, and drove off. But he shot the truck that he was upset with. 7 homicides, and our police department is down 7 people because of money.
You're right.
What's going on?
Well, here's the deal. Look, we are down 7 people for different reasons, injuries. And we've got problems with, certainly people retiring and whatnot. And So the way I look at it is the city, the police department, is authorized for 122 sworn personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as soon as we can get our sales tax thing straightened out and get the TOT tax in line, we're close. We can bring those positions back. We don't have to justify anything. We've already done that.
Right.
And being down seven positions, look, homicides, with my career in law enforcement, you can't proactively do that.
Yeah, it's been a strange year, and it's more than we've ever had before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And because you can't proactively patrol, if you will, for homicides, you're going to get this. And what I look for, we've still got a lot of officers out there. In fact, that stabbing yesterday, we got that guy in 30 minutes. And that's because we had a lot of police officers out there looking for him. Without those police officers out there on the street, we might not have found that guy.
Well, we're going to address that later anyway.
Okay.
You know, the halfway houses, the number of places around here that are holding former homeless that used to be hotels.
Well, we've got
and what the reasoning behind that and the permitting and all those kind of things. The one that happened on Pine Street is a legitimate halfway house.
It is. Yeah. It is. And we just gave that gentleman that's putting that together a lot of money to rehab it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to look at their vetting process to see, you know, what applicants are they accepting. We have a waiting list to get into some of these programs.
Mm-hmm.
But our pallet shelter program over there on Mark Street behind RABA is doing famously well. We have eight shelters there, the first eight to go into the city, and we've moved those people through that 10-month program in lightning speed. In fact, there's one young woman that I met, was one of the original seven or eight. She got a job working for RABA, then she started driving a small bus, and now she drives a big bus, and she got custody of her seven-year-old daughter.
That's great.
That's a success.
That's the idea behind giving people that want it. And those are big words, that want it, the opportunity.
You're spot on there, Carl. I'm going to tell you, look, I do that self-funded food program in MLK Park on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing it for several years now with a couple other people. And you get people there that they don't want the help. They like being on the street. They like doing their drugs, whatever it is they're doing. Those are the people that I say need to leave our town. But the ones that want help, we're a very compassionate community in Reading, and we'll help them. We have the resources. I think we've got like 35 different organizations that can help the unsheltered, and we just have to have them raise their hand and say, I'd like help. And then we do that. And those are our success stories. And we're going to be building 17 more at the Mission. We had the groundbreaking the other day, and Jonathan's going to do a great job over there. He's got a program just like ours, and they've got rules to follow. There's a curfew. There's no visitors allowed. You have to go into treatment, if you will, mm-hmm. for your addiction, be it alcohol or drugs or mental health. And our CERT team is doing a great job. We're still waiting for one more social worker to be into that program, but it's making roads. It's doing its job.
Yeah, I'm going to make some comments later on in the show. It had nothing to do with Mark, but it's from somebody that works at the Market Street. No, the Manor.
What is it? Yes, Mark's Market Street Manor.
Market Street Manor. From somebody that was in there that day when it happened, who is a mentor in there. It kind of puts a face on the lady that was killed.
Yeah.
So I'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show. Not during this hour, but in the next hour. I'm here with Reading City Councilman Mark Mazzano, and he's running for the two-year spot. And we've got to make that clear. There's for the Reading City Council, there's a two-year spot that's open, and then a four-year.
There's two four-year spots.
Two four-year spots, one two-year spot, and people are vying for those. And Mark is vying for the two-year spot, and you've been on the council for
4 years.
4 years. Okay. All right, we're going to take a quick break. A lot of things like Haunted House at the Monolith is happening. That's going to be, if you want to get tickets now, they're $10. Online pricing, $12. At the door pricing, $15. And it's from the Rotary Club of Reading. Reading Rancheria is involved in this thing. It's going to be, if you've not been there, it's going to be scary. It is scary. If you like scary. Linda does not like scary. Being married to me is scary enough. Okay, on October 25th, Radio Rancheria is having a Northern California Diabetes Conference from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and it's a day of learning and engagement. It's a movement toward better diabetes care across Northern California, and you can go to it. You can participate in a variety of sessions on important topics, engage with leading experts, and contribute to a united effort to enhance diabetes management and outcomes. If you just go to Community Health Director at Redding Rancheria and register there. And it's a diabetes conference, and just go to the Redding Rancheria website and you can register. Okay. Let's see, what else do we have here? We've got a number of things, my friends. Not that. The North Valley Stand Down Association for All Homeless Veterans, Hand Up, Not a Handout, is going to occur October 17th through the 19th. They're looking for some volunteers on the 17th to help them move some stuff over. Give people a call at 530-722-5700. And you can volunteer. And if you've never been to one of these, it's probably kind of cool to go to see what the things they're doing and how they're helping veterans. And, again, it's a hand up. They've got a number of organizations that will be there, DMV, Veterans Administration, Medical Services, County Veterans Service Office, Social Security, just a number of things are happening there. Plus being able to hand out a number of help packages to the veterans.
What was the date on that?
That will be the people start arriving on the 17th and the 18th and 19th. So best time to go down there is on the 18th, Mark. The NorCal Think Pink Sundial Resource Fair is going to happen on the 17th of October from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Turtle Bay Sundial Bridge. And the second annual Hispanic Heritage Celebration is going to happen this weekend on the 13th. It's going to be right down here in the promenade area down there. They're going to have a dancing horse parade. If you haven't seen that, it's really cool. From the Los Amigos de la Caballo. That's about 2 p.m. Live bands, dancers, food. It's a good time.
Have you seen the guy that gets his horse to sit down? He sits all the way down on the ground with the guy sitting on him, and then the horse gets up with the guy on him.
Ooh.
That's cool.
I've done that. Not on purpose. Okay, on October 1st, Oktoberfest, Saturday, October 12th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., right down at the Sundial Bridge. It's going to be family-friendly. They're going to have, of course, beer, but they're also going to have, like, root beer and those kind of things. And that's going to be this Saturday down at the Sundial Bridge. For more information, give them a call, 530-243-8850. A lot of things happening this weekend I'm trying to share with people. So things too are coming up that are important. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Local military veterans need specialty care? One name stands out, Dr. Paul DeNuca. For over two decades, Dr. Paul has been a trusted healthcare provider for Redding families, and he's proudly served our veteran community at the VA. He's been there for us, stepping up for Redding's families and veterans, selflessly serving when we needed him most. Now, Dr. Paul is running for Redding City Council. As a city council member, Dr. Paul will continue to fight for families and our veterans and work hard to lower costs for all. He'll ensure our police and firefighters have the resources they need to keep us safe. And he'll bring more nurses, doctors, and specialty care to Redding. Dr. Paul DeNuca is a proven leader, endorsed by the Shasta County Republican Party, the Shasta Republican Assembly, and the California Rifle and Pistol Association. This November, make your vote count. When your ballot arrives, make sure you mark Dr. Paul DeNuca for Redding City Council. Let's keep Redding in good hands.
Paid for by Dr. Paul DeNuca for Redding City Council 2024.
Hello, Northern California.
This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Inviting Cultures Beyond Borders invites you to a free special community event Saturday, October 19th at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This free event is open to the public and will feature on-site health screening, multicultural music, dancing, martial arts, and Native American practices. Free booth spaces are still available. Free international foods will also be featured, including Punjabi Indian food, Indonesian food, African food, American Mediterranean food, pizza, and even ice cream. Interact with speakers and learn more about health equity and climate resilience. Plus, there will be kids' activities, too. This event is co-sponsored by Shasta Interfaith, Shasta Community Health Center, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. For more information, call 530-440-2626 or 530-339-0530. Don't miss this special event Saturday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive, just off of Deschutes Road in Anderson.
Hi, I'm Mary Rickard, and I am running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 3. As your current supervisor, I know that love for our county is simply not enough. With my experience, integrity, and commitment to our community, I will continue to move forward with common sense and fiscally conservative values. I am excited to be working in my next term with two new board members so we can reset the board with the county's real issues. Vote for me, Mary Rickard, November 5th. It's a vote for all of Shasta County.
And paid for by Mary Rickard for Supervisor 2020.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395. License 109-0355.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Debop. 59 degrees out there, 7:23 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, local bank, been in the business 17 years. They got four branches, one in Red Bluff, two right here in Redding, and one down in Anderson. They are a local bank. We do business with Cornerstone. Really like them a lot. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. I've got two tickets. Or four tickets, depends if you want them. Two, Shasta College's play called A Doll's House. It's going to be on October 11th and 12th, 17th and 18th, and 19th at 7 p.m., October 13th and 20th at 2 p.m. And these are $15 tickets, and for the person who calls 530-605-4567. You score two tickets, but if you've got friends and you need four, let me know. We might be able to do that. 530-605-4567 is going to be a wonderful play, a wonderful play. It's called A Doll's House. Mm-hmm. Going to be out at Shasta College. Give us a call. I'm with Mark Mazzano, who is running. There's the city council has got kind of like a two-tiered election going on. They've got a two-year spot that's open, and for one person, and two people, two spots open for the 4 year.
Right, Julie Winter and I have our 4 year terms are expiring.
Right, and you want to do the 2 year right. That's open. That was Mike DeQuistos. Mm-hmm. Now, people that may not know you, Mark, can you give us a quick bio?
Well, certainly. I moved to California in early 2000s, or actually early late 80s. I joined the California Highway Patrol in 1983, January 10th, 1983, and I did 29-plus years with the CHP. Twilight of my career, I was on a multi-agency organized crime task force, and a crook found out where I lived and threatened to blow up my house and kill my family. Phoned a bomb threat into my own house, and my wife said, "I'm out of here," and I had to go back to my lieutenant and say, "We got to do something," and so they moved me to Reading, and I had to get a haircut, and here I am. 2011, I retired from the Highway Patrol with honors, and I had a great career, rose to the rank of sergeant. I was acting lieutenant in Reading, the largest command in the North State. While I was waiting for a promotion, Governor Brown had frozen promotions.
Uh-huh.
And then 2 days after I retired, my captain called me up and said, "Hey, he's unfrozen everything, and you're up for promotion." "Wow, great. Well, you got to bring your severance package back, you know, your vacation pay and all." "No problem. I haven't spent it." "Where are the openings?" "El Centro, Barstow, and Calexico."
"Oh.
No, not going to do it."
"I think I'll just stay in Reading."
So, anyway.
That's more. I've learned more in the last few minutes than I have, and I've known you for a long time because I knew you retired and all that. Okay. Important things that you would like, you've been working on for 4 years, that you would like to see happen.
Well, when I ran in 2020, I asked the people, "What do you want?" "Public safety, number one, police and fire, and do something about the homeless." That's all I heard during my campaign in 2020. And I've done that. You know, our police department is now the strongest it's ever been, with the most sworn personnel at 122. Yes, right now we have 7 positions open that we're not filling due to some budget shortfalls that we're expecting in January. But we've authorized the city to have 122 sworn personnel. We turn this economy around, we'll bring those 7 positions right back. We don't have to justify it. We know we need them. But we still got a lot of officers out there. So that was an accomplishment. The fire department, we used to have just 2 firefighters on every truck. The problem with that, Carl, is when your house is on fire and you're in there with your dog, or Linda's in there with the dog, and they get there, they can't go in until the 3rd firefighter gets on scene. And now we've got 3 firefighters. That's an OSHA law.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working. We have 3 firefighters in every truck. And we've bought the land for our 9th fire station. It's out there off of Shasta View. Our 9th fire station, which is going to shorten response times for Station 5 and a couple other ones.
It just means you have to find the money to build it.
We're going to float some bonds. That's, I'm sure that's the only way you can do it. But we can't do it right now. The bond market's not stable.
The city does not have a good record, in my opinion, Mark, of private, and I only am talking about 2 of them. There could be a lot more, and you can tell me I'm wrong. Private-public partnerships. I'm looking at, I know, your mouth dropped open. I'm talking about 2 specifically. I'm talking about the soccer complex and Big League Dreams. Now, there may be others that working famously.
How about Hill Country? Working famously. That's a public-private partnership with all those homes up there. Oh, it's right there off a hilltop.
What is it?
There's a great program up there.
Are you talking about the retirement home up there?
Up there, we've got the people. Well, we've got the homes for the people that they're helping.
Oh, okay, that one. Yeah. All right, okay. Now I'm talking about the soccer field and Big League Dreams. They've been the city's had to take over Big League Dreams. What's the projections for that?
Look, the soccer park is completely separate. It's run by a separate organization.
Right.
They're doing a great job over there.
They may be now.
Yeah, it cost us $5 million to do the field.
Yeah.
And we borrowed the money, and we agreed to pay it back, and then the council changed, and the council decided not to pay it back. And
yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, I'm of the school that you borrow money from somebody, you better pay it back to them.
Borrow from REU.
Yeah. And so what we look at things like, you look at RU, how do we make them more efficient? They're doing a great job out there.
I think RU is kind of one of the shining spots.
Well,
I
can tell you, thanks to both hospitals and Wind River,
uh-huh.
at night when you and I are sleeping, they're running our turbines at full speed, which makes them more efficient.
Right.
And then those are rate savings that we pass on to the ratepayers. But now, Big League Dreams.
Yeah.
That's been a nightmare from... Well, how about this? We didn't get a P&L statement since 2009. How does that happen?
Who was in charge of overseeing Big League Dreams?
That was the Parks Department. That was Kim Niemer.
Okay.
And it's unfortunate that it went the way it went. I mean, we spent a lot of money to build that place.
Is Kim still working for the city?
No, I think she's doing a some sort of a secondary thing for a short-term
contract or
yeah,
consulting?
Something like that. But the new guy we've got in there, Travis, well, he's not new. He worked under Kim.
Yeah.
He got that park opening up.
We got
sign-ups up right now.
Travis is doing a good job.
Yeah, I think he's doing a great job. And he's out there, he's talking to the people, and he's making some decisions. And we're moving forward. I mean, we packed that council chambers when we talked about Big League Dreams. I was at my eye doctor's office, and the gal that was working on my eye is a roller derby girl. And I was like, okay, I'm working on it. I'm trying to get it opened up. Be careful with my eyes. And she was great. She just wants to go roller skate.
So the plan is for the city to run it for 6 months and give you the time to find a new, what?
Yeah. Well our first order was to get it open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a short-term plan. And then we're now looking at developing a long-term plan. Whether or not that means bringing in another person to run it, that still has to be decided. The city could run it. We're good at that. Okay. The only thing I would say that I wouldn't want to run is the sports bar.
I can understand that.
But I think now, and I've had discussions with our city manager, and I like the idea of turning that into a Dave and Buster's with a lot of big screen TVs, and you can go in there and they'll have games for you to play, and you can watch different sporting events, and you can watch local softball or local baseball.
I've been to Dave and Buster's before in another city.
Mm-hmm.
It is a rowdy place. Can be. Christine, you'd love it. We have to take a break, Mark. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. Four Winds Jewelry has been voted best in the North State for 2023 and 2024 and should be for 2025 because they are the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. They are locally owned, locally operated, have been here for 30 years. Leonard started the store and sold it to Rebecca and Henry, a decade ago. And they have just done, they're just wonderful people. They have the only watch repairman, the only stone cutter. You can design a piece of jewelry. They'll help you. If you want a special piece of jewelry, then they'll build it for you. A wonderful selection of jewelry at very fair prices. I can't say enough about Four Winds Jewelry, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. They're open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. Four Winds Jewelry. And we'll be right back with Reading City Councilman Mark Mazzano.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Reading Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Fiesta Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Experience matters, family matters. Mary Rickert served on the Shasta County Mental Health, Alcohol, and Drug Advisory Board and has been active in the National Alliance for Mental Illness for decades. She's advocated for medically assisted treatment in our jail system and understands the challenges of mental health and substance use. A vote for Mary Rickert on November 5th is a vote for all of Shasta County. A common sense conservative. Experience and family matter.
And paid for by Mary Rickert for Supervisor 2024.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com. Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas, but our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 59 degrees, 7:36 in the morning. I'm here with Redding City Councilman Mark Mazzano running for the two-year spot. And let's just go to the phones. Nick, quickly, just a question. I'm running out of time.
Am I on?
Yes, but quickly, I'm running out of time.
Okay, it's a long question. I'm just kidding you. Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Mark. I just wanted you to touch a little bit on this subject. I understand that when Populous K2, McConnell Foundation, and Turtle Bay, although they didn't bring anything to the project, made their pitch to buy the Civic Auditorium down there in the Posse Grounds, that would have been a done deal in a closed session if you, Mark, and Mike DeQuisto hadn't spoke up and insisted this go to the citizens. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. I was in Los Angeles when my phone started blowing up about don't sell the land. You can't sell our land. And I called our city manager and I go, what is going on? And he told me about this unsolicited offer. And I said, you put that on closed session? Didn't we learn something from the closed session deal we did blocking the tribe from their own property? And so at that council meeting that night, Erin Reznor was our mayor at the time. She was in discussions with the city manager. And I just walked up to her and said, I'm not going to closed session. I don't have to go. I don't want to be any part of this. And they took it off of the agenda. Michael was in the same boat.
Okay. Rich, good morning. Hello, Rich, you're on. Rich.
Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. You got a question? Yes, you're on.
The only, you know, Mr. Mazzano, I've listened to almost every candidate running for city council this term except for, I think, Ms. Dr. Danuka. And I've not heard this one question ever asked or answered. And the question is accountability. When and if can we get any accountability at City Hall? This whole mess with Big League Dreams and the soccer park, that's just one thing. You had a person running that organization for years and years and years. All these problems didn't happen overnight. Apparently, there's no accountability at City Hall. What can you do about it, or what can anybody do about getting us some accountability? The city manager and the city attorney lied to the citizens of Redding, tried to screw over the rancheria with that land deal. Nothing happened to them. I think they're both still working. I'm sure they both got raises. Now you got this mess with the ballpark and the soccer field. There was no accountability there. You guys spent $5 million of ratepayers' money and gave it to them and didn't get anything back. Now, I know you didn't vote for to forgive the loan, but the citizens of Reading need some accountability.
Okay.
If you're not going to do that, don't ask for any more money, and I'll take my answer on the air.
Thank you. Thanks, Rich.
Rich, I could not agree with you more. Get Dave Backus and Paul DeNuca elected, and they'll give me three votes. Look, Barry Tippin does a great job as our city manager, but he just does what he's told to do by the council. He makes recommendations, and if they don't take his advice, they do what they want to do. And in the case of the land deal, look, that went south from day one when Michael DeQuisto said, you better get indemnification from Red Emerson because we're going to get sued. And at first, the council didn't want to do it because I've looked at all the documentation. And they didn't want to do it, and finally he pushed and he said, you better do it. And they agreed on $100,000 indemnification. We spent $103,000 on that lawsuit, so it only cost the city $3,000. But what people don't realize is that the tribe's still entitled to legal fees, as far as I know. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. And I think their legal fees are probably in the $100,000 field. But they're being good neighbors. They're not asking for that money. And you're right. We do need accountability. We do need accountability. And Field of Dreams is a disaster. I mean, you go back to when Barry Tippin announced in open session that we hadn't received a P&L, profit and loss statement, since 2009. I was shocked at that.
Well, here's the question. And why is, if Kim, and I'm not singling out Kim, but she was in charge of all this.
She was.
Why is she still working for the city?
Well, she's retired.
She's retired, but is she still working for the city?
You know, I'm not clear on that, Carl. I heard that she's got some sort of a temporary position that she's trying to help with.
Rich has got a good question.
It's a great question.
If I was working for a big company and I had two pretty much high-level disasters there, I may not be working with that company anymore. At least there'd be a letter of censure or caution or, hey, don't do that again. I understand perfectly where he's coming from.
It takes three votes.
Oh, well, okay.
It takes three votes. It's not just me.
Okay, let's move forward. These are things that happened in the past.
But he raises a great point.
It's a great point that where is the focus of responsibility when people do things like this?
Well, you know, and government is government. And if we ran our government like people run their private sectors, we'd probably be a lot better off.
And by the way, this isn't directed at Kim Niemer.
No.
This is directed at the city council and the city manager.
Yes. You're absolutely right.
Well, let's move forward. Okay. You get elected.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to accomplish in 30 days, 90 days, a year?
I will tell you that the first thing I'm going to do, if I get elected and I get the votes,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to draft a long-term lease for the Reading Rodeo. That's the first thing I want to do. They're entitled to it, and I want it done. I'm not going to kick this can down the road anymore. We don't need the ad hoc committee. I've looked at the resolution that they passed. They're talking about what is the value of this lease. So now are you talking about charging the Rodeo Association, what, $5,000 a month like we do Advanced Reading? Well, that's not going to work. The rodeo doesn't cost the city anything. Sure, it's a valuable piece of property. We could probably bulldoze it and put something there and the city make all kinds of money, but that's not what we're all about.
Yeah, that's me growling.
We can't do that. We can't do that. But now Advanced Reading, we cut their rent when Bethel moved out, but we still have to maintain that facility. We're going to spend $5 million on their HVAC system.
The city is?
Yeah. We maintain that building. We own both properties, but the rodeo doesn't ask us for anything. Now, they've got a resolution that says that they will entertain a long-term lease if we make it through surplus land. But that resolution is not binding. If we get a new council, that new council could say, we're not going to do that. We're going to do this.
There's several people, including yourself, that are running on, hey, the rodeo is going to stay here. I think people, in fact, most of the people running have all agreed that rodeo's staying here. So hopefully, the BS that they were pulling earlier, they woke up when they got slapped in the face. However,
there's two council members that were wanting to sell that land.
Well, yes, that's true.
So all of a sudden, now everybody's in favor of
isn't that interesting?
Rodeo. Yeah. And I've been trying for 2 years to get them a long-term lease.
Okay, 90. Okay, that's in the first 30.
Look, I'm going to do one of the things you learn after you've been in office for a little while is there's some other things that you can do. And I want to do what I call a listening tour. I want to move throughout the city and talk to different groups, different people, organizations like Rotaries, and listen to them and see what their priorities are. And then from that, I'm going to establish a couple of task forces. I think we need to focus on certainly, look, these people that are running for this job right now, have no idea what they're getting into come January when we have to start looking at the budget for next year. We have to have a balanced budget by July. You're talking about a knockdown, drag-out fight. All right? We're $5 to $6 million short, and people aren't concerned about that. I'm concerned about it, and we've got to do something about it. But we've got to do it, and we've got to prioritize public safety. That's number one in this community. And to do that, we're going to have to look real hard at a lot of areas within our city. I would think that communication, I need to do a better job. I mean, I answer all the emails that I get, but I want to be a little more proactive. I want to create a newsletter, an electronic newsletter that I can put out to the people. You know, I get my staff report on Thursday for the council meeting the coming Tuesday. Sometimes that takes me 3 days to review. You get 60, 70, 80 page reports that you've got to go over if you want to make the right decision. Well, I want to take that and knock it down and put it out there in a newsletter type format for the Tuesday meeting and hopefully generate some more interest in our council meetings to get more people to show up. So that would be first 30 days. 90 days, once we identify those key issues from the tour, we got to create the action plans to get it done, and that's what I want to do. I'll work with city staff, and we'll create some action plans to get those things moving in the right direction. Then you've got to find funding. The funding comes from us, the taxpayers. You got to go to the state to get it, you got to go to the feds to get it, but the city is very good at getting grants, especially our parks department. They're really good at getting grants. So if we do that, we'll be all right. And then I want to promote community engagement. I would like to see, and I hate to do this, I would like to see as many people at our council meeting as there are at the Board of Supervisors meeting.
With a different attitude.
With a different attitude. That's really all I'm looking for. Let's do some key initiatives the first year. Again, with
city staff. I tell you what, I do need to take a break. So what you'd like to do in the first year will be right after this break. In this portion of the show, brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center has it's one of the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals in the nation. It's got the teaching, the residency program that's already bringing doctors that are staying. They've already said they're staying in Reading, and this thing is an ongoing program. They are on the cusp of technology with the TAVR valve replacement, with the Guardian system, with the Da Vinci Xi surgical robotic system, which means it's less intrusive, less pain, faster recovery times. Shasta Regional Medical Center, they want to bring all of these procedures and in the process of doing it right here to Reading, so you don't have to drive to Davis or any other place. Get it done right here and done safely and done correctly. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. We'll be right back.
So the other thing that I'm...
Reading is more than just a city. It's a community built by the hard work of its people, and Dave Backus knows this firsthand. As a local business owner and leader in our community, Dave has spent thousands of hours volunteering with local nonprofits, tackling the most important issues affecting Reading. From youth programs to the homeless, Dave understands what our community really needs. Dave knows that volunteers make a city into a community, and he's deeply grateful for the countless hours that volunteers put in to make Reading a better place. As a business owner, Dave also understands the challenges of running a business here. He knows how to balance a budget and create a healthy environment for local businesses. He will ensure that Reading stays financially strong. Dave believes in this community, in our businesses, and in you. Together, we can build a better future for Reading. Dave's got our back, so we gotta back Dave. Go to backdave.com for more information and vote Dave Backus for City Council. Paid for by Dave Backus for Reading City Council 2024.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals, and the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauch Landscape Supply, and we're excited to celebrate our 5th anniversary with you. October 4th through the 13th is your chance to save big on products like 2.5-gallon Ranger Pro for only $59 a jug, low mulch mix for only $36 a yard, or pavers for your new walkway or patio start at $3.99 a square foot. It's that time of year to prevent the weeds before they start with 50-pound bags of Dimension pre-emergent covering over 10,000 square feet and on sale for only $33.99 a bag. Considering a water feature, we have pond liner pumps and all the accessories to make your water feature come to life. Needing to prep the driveway before the winter rains? Road base starts at $34 a yard. Maybe you're planning a winter garden this year. Our popular Garden Power soil will be on sale for only $51.99 a yard. So come celebrate and save with us at Lauch Landscape Supply October 4th through the 13th at the intersection of Durst, Stern Creek, and Airport Road. Check us out online at LauchLandscape.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. For all your construction, landscape supplies, and rental needs, Lauch Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, our guest is Mark Mazzano, Reading City Councilman. He's running for the two-year term. There's going to be one spot for the two-year term, two spots for the four-year term. He's running for the two-year term. So, good morning, Mark. Thanks for being with us. You said, you talked about what you wanted to accomplish immediately in 30 days and in 90 days, but then you've got a longer...
Well,
year.
During the first year, some of the key initiatives that I want to work with staff on is to create affordable economic development, including groundbreaking for new housing. And if we can work on some of the zoning where we can put multifamily houses in the picture, and even those tiny homes would create some opportunities in our community. And because we have a shortness of
we have a real shortage. You know, people, we get into this low-income housing, but we need working class, working poor. I shouldn't say it like that, but two of them, working hard, two jobs. We need to find housing for
it's workforce housing.
Workforce housing.
That's what we want. We want workforce housing. And in order to do that, we've got to look at some of our zoning. And if we can change some of the zoning where we can put in multifamily units or even those tiny homes, that would help with workforce housing. I'm not talking about income-qualifying housing. Sure, we need that. But we need workforce housing if we're going to attract industry into the area in order for the city to grow and survive, then we need to have housing for those employees. That's what big corporations look for. I can bring 500 employees to your city, but where are they going to live? That's a big question.
So where are they going to live?
Yeah. And so you look at that. Then you've got to set up a way to evaluate your progress, and I want to do that. And then the final thing I'd probably do is just continue to strengthen our partnerships with the private sector and local government agencies, and certainly at the state and federal level. And that brings me to people like Donna Jamian. Now, that's a guy that's building
concrete houses.
Concrete houses.
Yeah.
And here's the success
story.
He's
been on a couple of times.
Here's the success story. The Haven Humane has some property right next to their facility. Mm-hmm. It's over there by the water treatment plant, which you can smell. And they wanted to buy the land to build a building to hold animals during disasters. That's all they wanted to do. Pretty simple. And the city was making it difficult. And so I got our public works director, Chuck Auckland, to go with me out to the location. And we looked at it, and we realized that this isn't really that difficult. And then we got Barry Tippman involved, and we put together a deal. And we're selling this land to Haven Humane to build this building, and we got Donna Jamian to do the construction. It's a win-win situation there. Now, the terms of that deal are a 40-year buyback, meaning 40 years from now, if the city wants to buy that property back from the Haven Humane, they can do it, but at market rate. We won't be around in 40 years, Carl. I don't think that'll happen. Nobody wants to build next to
I'll
a sewer treatment
if,
plant.
I'll let you know if that's a success.
I just don't think that people want to build next to a sewer treatment plant.
Well, one of the things that we know is unless something dramatically changes, which it won't, from Sacramento, bless their hearts, we're going to need a place to put, because of fires, to be able to put these animals into. And I think it's a wonderful thing that Haven Humane in the city can actually
Mark
get
Story
up.
Doing a great job.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Hey, what sets you apart from your opponents?
Well, I certainly think right now my experience, certainly 4 years on the council, my experience in law enforcement, you know, 29 years with the Highway Patrol, working in Sacramento, managing a $5 million budget was real helpful. But I've also got a vision for the city, and I think that the fact that I'm retired, Carl, I'm retired. I don't have a business to run anymore. I don't have a children at home. I work my council job full time. I'm out there in the city. People say, Mark, you're everywhere. That's my job, to be everywhere. And, you know, councilmen get $600 a month. After taxes, it's $400. Carl, that doesn't cover my bill, my gas bill on my diesel truck, which is, what, $4.89 a gallon right now? Doesn't cover it as I drive around. Because if you call me and you want to talk about something, you want to meet, I'll meet you at a coffee shop, and we'll talk about it. And I get some great ideas from those conversations that I try to bring back to the city. You know, people come to me with their problems, and that just comes from my experience in law enforcement, is trying to help them solve that problem. And so I look for those opportunities, and I think that's probably the biggest thing that sets me apart from my competitors or the other council members. I don't have a job. This is my job. And unfortunately, right now, the state law says that based on our population, a councilman can make $1,900 a month. Now, I don't want that money, but it might help us attract more people to the council, instead of people that are independently wealthy, which is what I'm running against. And that just makes it harder for the common folk to have a voice, unless they work with somebody like me. I bring their voice to the council. When they were going after Aaron Hatch, when they wanted his head on a block, our planning commissioner, he was the chair, we got into a discussion at the council where I finally had to say, this is not agendized. There was an issue, and they wanted to get rid of him. It's not agendized. It's got to be on the agenda before we can talk about it. So that stopped the discussion. Then the emails came, 125 different emails, not these canned ones that you get,
yeah.
But 125 different emails that took me 6 hours to respond to. And I invited every one of those people to our council meeting. And when they started calling off the names and I started looking at my stack of emails, I invited that lady. I invited that man. So they listened and they came and they spoke, and we kept Aaron Hatch.
Okay. I'm here with Mark Mazzano, Reading City Councilman, running for the two-year term. Mark, just got a couple minutes left. What do you want people to remember here? And then I want to go into any things you got coming up and then how they can reach you.
Well, I certainly want them to remember that I work for the people. I'm their voice that they don't have at City Hall, and that's certainly important to me. But I would say that one of the things I'm really concerned about is at the next level. You know, I ran for the assembly, and I lost. I ran against Tanessa Audette and Heather Hadwick. So you spend time on the campaign trail with your candidates, your competitors. And I've decided, based on what I learned over that time period, that I'm going to support Heather Hadwick. I'm on her team. I'm helping her raise money. I'm helping her get endorsements because I believe she's the best thing to represent the North State. The biggest complaint I got on the campaign trail running for the assembly was the fact that the Dollies never showed up in Reading. They never were here. And that was a problem for a lot of people. So when I asked Heather that question, I said, you know, if you want my support, I need a commitment that you're going to come to Reading and help us. She says, Mark, I have to drive through Reading to get home. She lives in Alturas.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you're going to spend time in Reading? And absolutely is the answer I got. So I'll hold her to that. I will hold her to that. So for me, though, getting reelected is talked about raising money. People want to know where I'm getting my money from. I'm going to be right up front with you. Reading Rancheria gave me $5,000, and I took it because they shared my vision for this city. If they didn't, I wouldn't have taken their money. Cannabis wanted to give me money, and I said, no, you don't share the same vision I have. They can still do what they're doing. It's legal, but I don't want any part of it. And then I've gotten the Shasta County Republican Central Committee. They gave me $2,500. The Shasta County Republican Assembly, they endorsed me. And so it's looking real good. I'm real happy with the way the campaign's going.
And how do people get a hold of you? Because we've run out of time.
MarkMazzano.com. It can't be any simpler. M-E-Z-Z-A-N-O. And if you say it like my grandfather said it, it's MarkMazzano.com.
Mark, thanks a lot for being with us today.
My pleasure, Carl. Always.
Okay, hey, we're going to take a break from the news, and we got Simpson University joining us right after the news.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Hurricane Milton has left a path of death and destruction behind.
Storm chaser Morgan Guillon spots a tornado in Okeechobee, Florida, and it's approaching.
Large tornado in progress. West-northwest of the Miccosukee Service Plaza off I-74. Large tornado in progress.
Hurricane Milton made landfall late Wednesday in Siesta Key near Sarasota, dumping more than 16 inches of rain in St. Petersburg and tearing the fabric dome roof off the Tampa Bay Rays Tropicana Field. More than 3 million homes and businesses are without power. I'm Donna Water.
Florida Republican Congressman Mike Waltz told the Salem Radio Network Hurricane Milton also poses some national security dangers.
You have right there in Tampa Bay, MacDill Air Force Base, which is the home of our Special Operations Command and its headquarters, and our Central Command and its headquarters, that right now is in the middle of dealing with what's going on in the Middle East. So you've got some national security impacts there as well.
Congressman Walt spoke to the Salem Radio Network. The number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits last week jumped to their highest level in a year. A closer look from correspondent Jeremy House.
In a possible sign of softness in the labor market, the Labor Department reports that applications for jobless claims jumped by 33,000 to 258,000 for the week of October 3rd. That's the most since August 5th, 2023, and well above the 229,000 analysts were expecting. Applications for jobless benefits are widely considered representative of U.S. layoffs in a given week.
Social Security recipients set to receive a 2.5% increase in their benefits next year. That will translate on average to about $50 more per monthly payments starting in January. On Wall Street, the Dow is struggling. It's down 154 points. More of these stories at townhall.com.
Our government has engorged itself on borrowed money. Now we are over $30 trillion in debt. If this bubble finally implodes, many Americans would be left penniless and heartbroken. For example, what happens if state and federal pension funds go broke? Or if 401ks and IRAs get cut in half due to hyperinflation? Hi, I'm Lance Wolnow, news analyst, best-selling author, and evangelical leader to millions of people just like you. People who understand something big is coming. Now's the time to prepare with a physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. Precious metals are among the most proven hedges you can make. And they're even better inside a tax advantage account. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH, F-A-I-T-H, to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached, so just text FAITH to the number 989898 right now, and I pray you are blessed with continued prosperity.
A rare comet is brightening the night skies this month.
The comet Tsuchinshan Atlas, discovered last year, is slinging toward Earth and will make its closest approach, about 44 million miles away, on Saturday. Astronomers say it should be bright enough to see with the naked eye. It's come from the Oort cloud, well beyond Pluto, and won't return for another 80,000 years, assuming it survives the trip.
That is correspondent Ben Thomas reporting. Investigators say air traffic controllers cleared one plane to take off after telling pilots of another plane to cross the same runway. It happened in Nashville last month. Pilots of an Alaska Airlines jet aborted their takeoff, braking so hard the tires on that plane deflated as per their design. The National Transportation Safety Board released a timeline of the incident on Wednesday as part of a brief preliminary report. There were 176 passengers involved. Breaking news at townhall.com. South Korea has denounced a decision by North Korea to cut up all roads and railways that once linked the two countries.
Road and rail links between the two Koreas were once touted as a physical symbol of the neighbors' warming ties. Now, the opposite is happening. As relations grow ever more sour across the Korean Peninsula, Pyongyang announced Wednesday that it would permanently shut all routes south and would build more defense structures along its border. The North has already removed streetlights and added landmines along the roads, while also dismantling some sections of railway track, closing off links that once carried regular trade shipments.
That's BBC's Celia Hatton reporting. A Nazi-looted Claude Monet pastel has been returned to descendants of the man who owned it when it was seized in Austria decades ago. The pastel was sold off to support the Third Reich at the time. More on these stories can be found at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, the 10th of October, 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. Good morning, Christina.
Very good morning.
Very good morning. Okay. You're okay. It's National take a Walk in the Park Day.
Yes, but it's not all. Today is also National Handbag Day.
Handbag Day. You know what they call a man's handbag?
No.
A merce. Man's purse. Merce.
That's interesting.
I call it a gun bag. So, okay. What else? Is that it?
Unfortunately, yes.
We okay. All right. Hey, let's look at the weather. Today it's going to be a whopping 86 degrees. Isn't that cool? Mostly sunny. I say mostly sunny. It's going to need to clear up a little bit. Hey, the weather's going to be nice. It's going to be in the 80s through next Wednesday. Now, we're going to start seeing a chance of showers on Saturday. Sunday looks like it's going to be cleared up in Columbus Day, which is a holiday for a lot of people. It's going to be sunny with a high near 84. It's going to be beautiful. And then Wednesday, again, we start getting a slight chance of showers. So, looks like it's going to be a great week. And the weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a family-owned business out of Anderson, been there for 30 years, have passed up the chance of selling their business to the big corporations because they like serving their customers. They do treat their customers as friends. Family-owned, like I said, locally owned. They have discounts for seniors and veterans. It's a veteran-owned business. That's Shasta Gas Propane. You can reach them at 530-365-3793. Now, before I get to my guest, I want to talk about something that happened, a tragedy that happened the other day at Market Street Manor, where a lady was killed, two other people injured. And you wonder how this happened. And I know somebody that works there. She's a mentor there. And the lady that died had been sober for 2 years and had just, graduated from the program, and she was going to be moved up to a mentor position. And my friend was in there when it happened. They were talking. All of a sudden, this guy pulls his knife and starts stabbing the one man, has him on the floor, reaches out, and he stabbed the lady, and she died there before medics and ambulances and police could get there. The police caught this guy within 30 minutes after that. But then he also, two other employees tried to stop him. They were both wounded, too. So I wanted to, the lady that that died was doing things. She had graduated from the program. Like I said, she'd been sober for 2 years. She was helping other people. And you just heard Mark Mazzano say that, you know, this has been one of the successes. And this is what the lady who works there tells me. Volunteers are time, by the way. Is that they've had many successes, and that people are drug tested, and they're tested to make sure that, you know, they're staying on the track. This guy had been there for like 2 weeks, and the paper reported that he had been in a prison in Colorado for stabbing people for knife assault. And it's not clear if when that was, or was it a prison, or was it a mental facility? And the question is, was anybody told this at the manor? But that'll be figured out. I think what I really want to get out there is that this lady who lost her life was somebody who had turned her life around and now was helping other people turn their lives around. And what a tragedy that is. So, I know it's hard. It's a hard act to follow here, Simpson. But I'm here. I'm sorry, Mark. Is it Mark? No,
Gene.
Okay, Gene. I'm sorry. And it's
Wolski.
Okay. Well, welcome aboard. You're doing a good job.
Great. Thank you.
Better than I am. You just told me your name, and then I went into another subject and totally lost it. So, Gene, what do you do over there, Simpson?
Gene Wolski, I'm the director of both alumni and also church relations at Simpson. So
okay.
A lot of it's our outward facing, a lot of our PR work that we do at the university.
So alumni relations, I mean, is that, I used to get letters from college I went to, I mean, for years. I didn't graduate from the college, but I had gone there for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I hadn't given it my best shot. I don't know why, except that I was just being me. But I received letters for years, and then they stopped sending me letters. I don't know if it's because I never responded, or they, you know, it's like the voters registration or voters list that they scrubbed it. We haven't heard from this guy in 20 years. Maybe we should stop sending him stuff. Is it, when you're reaching out to the alumni, what are your procedures for that? And I mean, are you just trying to keep people informed, but you also want to keep them, I would imagine, in kind of in the Simpson family?
Yeah, that idea of actually using family is much of my viewpoint. Our motto is Gateway to World Service, and my desire is to help Simpson remain a gateway to world service. So that's going to include us continuing to have students and alumni that volunteer and are willing to give in different ways. And so to get to your question, Carl, what we do is we both get ongoing contact information at any point from our 15,000 alumni that we have. A lot of it's just making sure we can keep in touch with them the best we can using physical mail, email, and then also social media. Those are a few of our primary outward-facing directions that we try to communicate with. So,
what kind of information do you send to your alumni? Probably are all over the world.
Yes. 80% live right up and down the I-5 corridor, but okay. Then some of them live a long way away. I myself had worked and lived in the Middle East. I'm a graduate of Simpson, and I spent about 10 years in the country of Jordan teaching English as a foreign language. That's an idea. And I worked with one of my colleagues, one of my colleagues was a graduate also from Simpson. Saying that, we have some that are spread out. What I try to communicate on a monthly basis is something that's news, some way they can join back in some way. And then I always take some opportunity to spotlight one of our many alumni, looking at a variety of different programs that we have.
Okay. Gene, tell me a little bit about you.
Yeah.
You say you went to Simpson, but where are you from?
Yeah. I grew up right over in Chico, not too far away, and right out of high school, wasn't sure what I wanted to do, so I served in the Air Force for a term up in Anchorage, Alaska.
Hey, God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
And I know you're a veteran as well. Thank you.
up in Alaska.
Up in Alaska. And it was during that time that I enjoyed what I did as an avionics technician, but I found myself wanting to lean much more toward education or possibly Christian ministry. So looking around, I found Simpson. That brought me back down here to Reading after my term finished.
Mm-hmm.
Went through the program, got a degree in cross-cultural studies, and I used that to spend about 17 years. My wife is also a graduate of Simpson, and we worked overseas with a Christian ministry organization. So that's a bit about me. A couple years ago, some health changes caused us to not be able to remain in the region, so we returned back to the U.S., and we thought, Reading feels like home. And so that's where we came back, and I was offered a position at Simpson.
Okay.
That's what brought me here.
Well, you're kind of homegrown and went through Simpson and went out for how long? 17 years.
Yeah.
Over in Jordan?
Jordan primarily, and the Syrian Civil War caused us, our long-term visas weren't renewed, so we moved up into southern France, and that was a nice place, but we still really focused and worked with people there to help resettle Syrian and Iraqi refugees. We, after spending time in the Middle East, we speak Arabic, and so then we were able to be, in many ways, a middle person in between.
Okay. I'm here with Gene Wolski.
Correct.
And he's the alumni and kind of public affairs guy over at Simpson University. This portion of the show is brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. And we're talking workers' compensation here. If you're not getting treatment for a work injury that you deserve, maybe it's time to give Patrick a call at 530-262-2168 for a free consultation. Work injuries can be life-changing. They impact on you, your family, your employer who wants you back. And it just takes, sometimes it takes a while. But if you're not getting that treatment because of inordinate delays or they're trying to time it out, then Patrick Gorman is a guy you want on your side. He's a scrapper. He's a veteran. He's former law enforcement, went to law school, worked for insurance companies for a year or so, and decided he just did not like that, didn't like what he saw, and now built himself the largest workers' compensation office north of Sacramento. He will fight for you. Patrick Gorman, you can reach him at 530-262-2168. We'll be right back with Simpson University.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
When local military veterans need specialty care, one name stands out, Dr. Paul Danuka. For over two decades, Dr. Paul has been a trusted healthcare provider for Reading families, and he's proudly served our veteran community at the VA. He's been there for us, stepping up for Reading's families and veterans, selflessly serving when we needed him most. Now, Dr. Paul is running for Reading City Council. As a city council member, Dr. Paul will continue to fight for families and our veterans and work hard to lower costs for all. He'll ensure our police and firefighters have the resources they need to keep us safe. And he'll bring more nurses, doctors, and specialty care to Reading. Dr. Paul Danuka is a proven leader endorsed by the Shasta County Republican Party, the Shasta Republican Assembly, and the California Rifle and Pistol Association. This November, make your vote count. When your ballot arrives, make sure you mark Dr. Paul Danuka for Reading City Council. Let's keep Reading in good hands.
Paid for by Dr. Paul Danuka for Reading City Council 2024.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years' experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help.
We live here and care about our community. I want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Reading deserves a city council that works for us, the people, not special interest groups. But right now, behind closed doors, big money players are influencing decisions that impact your neighborhood, your family, and your future. From housing to public safety, these groups are pushing their own agendas, and it's leaving hardworking Reading residents behind. But Dave Backus is fighting back. Dave believes city council should be about service, not self-interest. He's committed to transparency, accountability, and making sure every decision benefits you, not wealthy insiders. As a longtime resident, Dave Backus knows our challenges and understands our values. He's running for city council to give the power back to Reading's families, where it belongs. Together, we can put an end to special interests running our city council. Let's build a Reading that works for all of us. Dave's got our back, so we gotta back Dave. Go to backdave.com for more information and vote Dave Backus for city council. Paid for by Dave Backus for Reading City Council 2024.
Back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl Mundebach. Hey, think about purchasing an electric vehicle. Reading Electric Utility still has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. I'm here with Gene Walski, who is the alumni the guy that is in charge of the alumni and public affairs, and or not public affairs, but yeah, I guess it is public affairs and reaching out to people like that. Talking about how, you know, he's a local guy, went to Simpson, his wife went to Simpson, and then he went to Jordan for 17 years. I want to talk to you about that just for a second. And you went there teaching English.
Correct. Yes, I worked for a non-governmental organization, and I taught English as a foreign language down in a small port city called Aqaba, right on the Red Sea.
You know, I see, you know, advertisements for that kind of stuff, you know, teaching English. And you don't really have to be a teacher to do that. You've got a pass test and all those kind of things. And then what, they pay you to live there? How's that work?
Yeah. The organization I worked with, I was seconded from a Christian ministry organization to the NGO. So I was there much on – people would give financial support to me. My wife and I raised support to do that. And then the organization we were with helped cover costs related to ongoing medical insurance or travel and some of those big – picture variables. A lot of it was country like Jordan, that the cost of living was quite a bit lower than it would be here in Reading. But that's what allowed us to be able to stay there. And, you know, when you say
17 years is a long time.
Yeah, we spent about 10 years in Jordan, and then there was time up in Europe. But it was a long time. I have four kids, three of them were born there. And
so tell me about Jordan. Jordan's more of a stable country.
It is. A lot of that has to do with being poised where it's at. They don't have a major source of income beyond tourism. And so it's in their best interest to keep allegiances and alliances that are tight, if at all possible, with their neighbor to the west, with Israel. And so they've had a peace treaty for over 30 years.
Yeah.
So that's why right now, with a lot of conflict going on up and down with Israel, where I lived in Aqaba, I was literally about a mile and a half from the Israeli border. Thankfully, it was essentially always peaceful in that region. We were right down to the very tip of.
Well, you don't have terrorist organizations coming out of
Jordan.
Not
to the same level.
Yeah. I mean, it may be there, but Jordan keeps a cap on it.
They really do. Extensive secret police system, which really worked in our favor.
If you were there for 10 years, you must have liked it. So what do people like in Jordan?
Warm, hospitable. There's a certain – as an outsider, I'd walk into a hardware store, and right away, they would go out of their way to the few people sitting there to help me understand what I needed. Then they'd invite me to stay and chat for a few minutes. I lived in a town about the size of Reading, so it was smaller. They weren't used to having foreigners that could speak their language sit there and interact. And just the warmth, the real genuineness, and I learned a lot about the people while I lived there. I've used that now. I've come back and been teaching cultural anthropology, among other things, at Simpson the last few years. And just having a long-term experience of having really grown to enjoy and love people that are completely different, have a different language and a different approach to life.
I've had I've been fortunate to live in other countries and have found that people have a tendency to treat you like you treat them. And Americans are liked in many countries. I lived in Croatia. They loved Americans. And it's got to be one of the hardest languages ever to learn. Of course, you learned...
It's Arabic, yes. Yeah, I learned Arabic.
Arabic, which is not easy either.
Yeah, it's Croatian and Arabic. They take a much longer progress.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not like a Latin language.
Correct.
That, you know, either, you know, by osmosis, we pick up a lot of words. Mm-hmm. That we use in the English language, and it makes more sense the way we say things. Now, when we sent people to Arabic schools and all this different Farsi and all
correct,
these,
yeah.
That it's not easy. I had one guy that could speak Russian very well.
Yes.
He couldn't read it. He says, I just can't read it. And I'm thinking, I would think it would be the other way around, that you could read it, but you couldn't speak it. Yeah. And, he said, I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
So, he never got that final block checked.
I worked in that world of language. I taught English as a foreign language and also oversaw a program. And what I, doing personal interviews to help assess people's language with thousands of Jordanians, I found people's personality comes out really clearly. Some, you know, they're going to be stronger with reading and writing. Some, wow, their conversational ability is through the roof. But again, like that person you knew, if you hand them a book or ask them to write a couple sentences, the ability drops so much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so interesting to see or talk to people that have spent a great deal of time in other countries and NGOs, non-government organizations. I ran into them in Somalia during the worst times in Somalia. And they're incredibly courageous out there helping people in places that, you know, if I was going to plunk down where they were at, I'd want a company of Marines around me. And they were out there literally by themselves. And, I mean, we'd go by. But it was just, you know, they're there to help the people. And that's their whole mission in life in a horrible place. Because Somalia was not a great place. It's, you know, with you in Jordan, of course, you didn't have those problems. But still, just living in another culture, what was the biggest surprise about the culture, if there was?
Yes. For me, the biggest surprise is the difference between what I refer to as an honor and shame culture that's prevalent in the Middle East versus the guilt and innocence here. Guilt and innocence causes a lot of us right here in Reading to think about ourselves individually and whether your actions are right or wrong. Collectively, there's so much impact by the extended family and then beyond to the broader, almost like your tribe that you're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go in a career direction. You will be great, like hugely swayed to say marry one person and not someone else, precisely because of the influence of especially the older men around you. And they're like, hey, this is who we are. These are the decisions we make. And that it helps uphold honor. And then breaking away and doing your own individual ideas and going your own course is seen as something that's shameful. And so that would even come out even as a teacher for the years I was there. I would see people that had pursued, they'd be a decade into having done a particular career, but they weren't finding the satisfaction inside. And people deal with that here, but there in Jordan, they would trace it back to, oh, it's the influence. I have to do this because that's what my family wanted me to do. It was the most
honorable. Yeah, the honor shame thing.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, I'm here with Gene Walsky, and who is head of the alumni and outreach, but he also taught English in Jordan for 10 years and then moved, and then you went to, you said, southern France?
We spent another 5 years in France.
That must have been a kind of a change.
It really was.
How'd you like that?
I really liked it. And one contrast that happened there was we spoke about language earlier. It took almost twice as long to learn and do what I could in Arabic. Half the time I could do it in French because it was Latin-based.
Yeah.
Much of my time was I would get to spend the weekend trip, go out of town and see wineries.
Sure.
And just the countryside. But most of my time was spent in their version of the inner city around people that were just coming from parts of either the Middle East or North Africa. And while there was French being spoken around, you would hear other languages as well. And say in that part of France where I worked, about 15% of the population right there was from either the North Africa or the Middle East. And so if they didn't speak Arabic, their parents or grandparents did.
Yeah.
And so it was a mixture. I was in France, but culturally around people from all over Africa.
So it was – do they assimilate or do they just kind of keep in their own enclaves?
With the answer would be similar to what happens with life here. It really – it depends on the person. Many of them will – if you were to take – I think of a close Syrian that I knew. He had been an attorney back in Syria before the war.
Mm-hmm.
He got targeted, so he's like – I fear for my life and my family.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
He moved, yeah. And so as a man in his late 50s, he had a really hard time relearning French, and he never had the ability to practice law again. So what could he do? He found that he spent most of his time around people he could identify with, and so a lot of his friends ended up still speaking Arabic as their first language.
So they didn't assimilate.
He didn't assimilate fully. But his kids who were college age, they were able to absorb the language so much quicker, and they leave and live French lives.
So they did assimilate.
They did, yeah. So it's often that generational thing.
All right, we got to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, across from the old Lucky Millers. They've been there since they were founded in 1960. They've been in that same spot since 1966. So if you're looking for a great place to get a haircut, Cypress Square Barbershop is that. I've been going there for 17 years, never had a bad haircut. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. You can make an appointment so it works on your schedule. You call them at 530-244-9478. Set up a schedule that works for you. Go down and get a great haircut. It's a good place to go to. There's no contentious conversations going on, you know, politics is never spoken there. They usually have golf on the TV. So it's just a good place. It's not a hair salon. It's a barbershop and a really good one. Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. Does that tell you something? We'll be right back.
Shasta County Supervisor Mary Rickert said no to a 70% pay raise.
But the rest of the board voted yes. Now Mary donates a raise back to county employees.
When wildfires began to get worse and spread faster,
Mary started the Fire Safe Councils.
When we think of common sense, fiscal responsibility,
we think of Mary Rickert, a supervisor who works for the people.
A vote for Mary Rickert November 5th is a vote for all of Shasta County.
And paid for by Mary Rickert for Supervisor 2024.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Inviting Cultures Beyond Borders invites you to a free special community event Saturday, October 19th at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This free event is open to the public and will feature on-site health screening, multicultural music, dancing, martial arts, and Native American practices. Free booth spaces are still available. Free international foods will also be featured, including Punjabi Indian food, Indonesian food, African food, American Mediterranean food, pizza, and even ice cream. Interact with speakers and learn more about health equity and climate resilience. Plus, there will be kids' activities, too. This event is co-sponsored by Shasta Interfaith, Shasta Community Health Center, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect. For more information, call 530-440-2626 or 530-339-0530. Don't miss this special event Saturday, October 19th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive, just off of Deschutes Road in Anderson.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Mundabad. It is Thursday, the 10th of October, 8:36 in the morning. About 62 degrees out there. It's going to be up to like 86 today. It's kind of cloudy, overcast, but it says it's going to be mostly sunny, so it'll come on back. Friday is going to be just kind of like today. Now, Saturday, we got a 40% chance of showers. So, yeah, we'll see. And the temperatures are going to be running just like this in the mid-80s all the way through next Wednesday. With a high near 75 on Wednesday because there's another chance of showers. But Columbus Day Monday, or Indigenous People's Day, is going to be sunny with a high near 84. So it's going to be really, really nice weather. And the weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, located in Anderson, locally owned, locally operated, family-owned business, 530-365-3793. Okay, I'm here with Gene Walsky, who is in charge of the at Simpson University of Alumni Relations and what, outreach.
Correct. Yeah.
Those kind of things. You've got homecoming.
Mm-hmm. And our homecoming, it starts a week from today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we have four big community events that wouldn't just appeal to someone that's an alum of Simpson.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next Thursday night, 7:30 at our student union, we're having a fall-winter concert. No admission. We do ask you to RSVP ahead of time, but that can be done through Eventbrite.
Okay, so that's next Thursday.
Next Thursday night.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the following day, Friday the 18th, starts our homecoming weekend. And what we have on Friday is a big community fiesta tailgate. Tickets for that meal can be purchased online that flows right into an alumni baseball team where alumni, many of whom live and work right here in town still, will play against our current team. And then we end that at 8 o'clock with fireworks. And those fireworks are brought.
Unless there's a mercy, unless there's a mercy stopping, right? No, we won't do that. Okay.
We'll keep going. Yeah, we'll keep everyone going. Playful and fun.
We'll just play and not keep scoring.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's never happened. But you got some of the, the alumni are still out there pitching at 80 miles an hour or something, 70.
Yeah.
And you're, playing against 18 to 20 year olds.
It's a big difference. Sometimes it's the resilience of the impact the body can take. That's more what it is.
You know what it is your brain still thinks you're 25 and your body, unfortunately, can't cash the checks your brain is writing.
That's on the 18th. That's the Friday. The following day, we have a couple more events on the 19th. One of them is in the morning. It's a community 5K that starts and ends right on Simpson University. People can sign up and register for that, and they get a race shirt. And then
a 3-miler.
Yeah. It's a 3-mile, 3.1 mile. I ran one of those this past weekend to help support my son's high school athlete. The last event we have that's a big draw is we're having a football watch party at noon. Our team, typically homecoming would have a home football game, but being new to the league and new with football, it's an away game. But we're bringing in a big tent and a big live screen and putting it right next to our football practice field and inviting people to come out. If you want to stay, and we have, you can pay right there for a tailgate meal as well. If you want to, we're going to have all kinds of things like bratwurst and all kinds of straightforward tailgate food. And so those different events, it's all brought in part just to help cover the cost by our sponsors of Oxford Suites and the fireplace. So we're grateful for them. Mm-hmm. And so those are our different events coming with homecoming. Here in the Reading area, we have around 4,000 alumni that live right in Reading and another 1,000 that live in Tehama County around Red Bluff.
Okay.
And so I mentioned earlier about 15,000 alumni, about a third of them live within about 45 minutes right here of where we're at in downtown Reading.
Wow.
Hoping to see them back.
Yeah. The alumni are important for a variety of reasons. Mentors, they can all, but of course, being able to help support different things that are happening. And Simpson has grown exponentially in the last, 5 years?
Correct, yes.
Since Dr. Norm Hall rolled in here, starting out with a bass fishing team. And people laugh about that, except our bass fishing team is one of the best in the United States and has gotten support from national organizations of businesses. But then wrestling and female wrestling, that's really, people go, don't realize that's a huge sport.
It really is, yes.
Women wrestling.
We have nearly 20 women on our team.
Yeah.
And it gives them an opportunity to do something they enjoy.
Yeah. And the cheerleading squad, you don't think about it, but that takes somebody that's going to run it. And you actually recruit for cheerleaders, too.
Correct. We do. And some come from the local area, but some have moved here from other parts of the state.
Yeah.
And so, we have a good team.
Does the Simpson, and the other thing is that Simpson is a Christian university. It makes no bones about it. It's proud of itself. But it also, during this time over the last several years, we've seen so many smaller universities and colleges just go out of business. And Simpson's enrollment has grown 10% during this time frame.
Yeah.
What you say is the reason for that?
One of the chief reasons I would look at would be it touches back to our posture as a Christian university. When Dr. Hall came to campus, he looked and instead of what we had historically done where we asked people to sign a general statement of faith, instead we decided to say, we want you to sign this covenant statement that you know we're a Christian university. We're just asking that you're not antagonistic, that if and as you decide to study here, we're inviting you into this space. We're not saying you have to agree with us. And so are you okay doing that? And so it's more of an invitational model.
Yeah, as opposed to this is what you're going to do.
Correct. And I feel that has made a big difference. I myself, an alum, graduated 25 years ago, and I remember a Simpson of that era in the 90s. I taught for 1 year back in the mid 2013-14, and I've seen it at a few different points. Yet we still serve many of our students. At least a third are coming from the valley between Sacramento and Bakersfield. Historically, we had students from there, and we continue to. While we have a little higher percentage of student athletes now, yet a lot of it overall is, I would say, comes back to the more of our posture of we are still unashamedly a Christian university, yet we are open both in the ways that we invite people in both to our day programs but also our evening degree completion program. Come check it out, and that is much our posture. And we just want you to know what you're getting into when you come.
So you don't have those questions. And I also understand, I think Simpson told me, maybe Dr. Hall said, for every student athlete you have, it brings 1.5 people in. You know, that they want that total college university experience. They want to be able to go not just to class. They want to watch football. They want to watch basketball, baseball, swimming. You know, I mean, people are just they want that full enchilada, you might say. And I think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. It's just continuing to grow in what you have.
That's what we are.
Got to take a break. All right, my friends. Something near and dear to my heart, the 249th Marine Corps Birthday Ball is coming up on November 10th. That's a Sunday, but November 11th is a holiday. It's Veterans Day. So a lot of things happening, but if you'd like to attend the Marine Corps Ball, tickets are $40. And for that, you get dinner, and you get all the ceremonies. You get the Jefferson pipes and drums. You get the marching in of the cake, mess call. You have guest speaker that won't speak more than 15 minutes, so you don't have to worry about laying there and going to sleep in your salad. We honor the oldest and youngest Marine who are in attendance, and I believe this year we've got a 94-year-old Marine that's going to be our oldest, and our youngest is probably going to be right around 18. It's going to be a great event, music, dancing, the whole thing. And how do you get to it? It's easy. Go to Eventbrite. Go to November 10th, Redding, California, and you sign up for the tickets. Table's 10, so 8 or 10. And you can reserve your table. You can put the people's names in there. If you don't have their names right now, just put in names you like. And when they come, they will have a reserved spot right there. So go to Eventbrite, November 10th, Redding, California, and get yourself a ticket. You're going to have a great time. Everybody does. We had over 320 people last year, and it looks like it could be more this year, so we sell out. So please, if you'd like to join us and have a wonderful evening, go to Eventbrite, November 10th, Redding, California, and reserve your table. We'll be right back.
For over 75 years, the Redding Rodeo has been at the heart of our community, bringing families together, celebrating tradition, and supporting local businesses. It's more than an event, it's part of who we are. But now, special interests are targeting the rodeo grounds, pushing to declare it surplus land, threatening to erase this important piece of Redding's history. Dave Backus says, no way. Dave Backus stands with our community. He believes in protecting the Redding Rodeo, its heritage, and the families who've cherished it for generations. He knows there's no reason we can't secure a long-term lease for the rodeo grounds right now, keeping this tradition alive for years to come. The Redding Rodeo is part of our city's fabric, and he'll fight to preserve it. We don't need special interests deciding our future. Dave's got our back, so we got to back Dave. Go to backdave.com for more information and vote Dave Backus for City Council. Paid for by Dave Backus for Redding City Council 2024.
Whether it's a harvest theme or Halloween, there's plenty of decorations to choose from at Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson. They feature a wide variety of costumes and costume jewelry, along with a lot of fall decor, pumpkins, garland, wreaths, and more. Mix and match antique, shabby chic, and farmhouse furniture. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 10 to 6, Sunday noon to 5, and Monday 10 to 6. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles in the Shasta Gateway Center on Highway 273 in Anderson.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals, and the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Gran Habanos Corojo No. 5 with the unusual shaggy foot. Offering two distinct experiences, Corojo No. 5 comes from Honduras with Nicaraguan, Mexican, and Costa Rican tobaccos, finished off with a spicy Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper leaf for a heavy and rich smoke. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauch Landscape Supply, and we're excited to celebrate our fifth anniversary with you. October 4th through the 13th is your chance to save big on products like 2.5-gallon Ranger Pro for only $59 a jug, low mulch mix for only $36 a yard, or pavers for your new walkway or patio start at $3.99 a square foot. It's that time of year to prevent the weeds before they start. 50-pound bags of Dimension pre-emergent covering over 10,000 square feet and on sale for only $33.99 a bag. Considering a water feature, we have pond liner pumps and all the accessories to make your water feature come to life. Needing to prep the driveway before the winter rains? Road base starts at $34 a yard. Maybe you're planning a winter garden this year. Our popular Garden Power soil will be on sale for only $51.99 a yard. So come celebrate and save with us at Laux Landscape Supply October 4th through the 13th at the intersection of Durst, Stern Creek, and Airport Road. Check us out online at LauxLandscape.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. For all your construction, landscape supplies, and rental needs, Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindebot. Tomorrow, Patrick Gorman, attorney, joins us, and we talk about a lot of things, not just workers' comp, but we talk about a lot of the other legal things going on in California, kind of give you a background on those. He's very well versed in so much when it comes to the legal side of what's happening in our state. Also, Dr. Paul DeNuca will join us, who is running for Reading City Council. He'll join us at 7:15, and we'll have him till 8. And then Patrick comes on at 8 o'clock. Haven Humane, of course, comes on at 7 with the Pet of the Week. And always brings in just a great animal that would fit into your family if you wanted that. Buford came in one time, and last night when he's laying on the bed, no, he doesn't sleep with us, but he does sneak up and get on the bed. And first thing he does, he throws himself against one of us and, you know, and gives us the look. Like, just let me stay up here for 10 minutes. Yeah, anyway, Haven Humane's on too. But I'm with Gene Walsky, who is the alumni director and the outreach director for Simpson University, Reading's hometown university. The team's out this week, and the football team is out this weekend at Ottawa University in Surprise, Arizona. It seems to me I've been to Surprise, Arizona, but I think you blink when you're going through. But it could be it's the city's growing out there since, you know, Phoenix is growing out so big. So good luck to them.
Thank you.
And Gene's been telling us, I took a whole segment because he was in Jordan for 10 years, he and his wife, teaching English. And actually, you really, really liked it there. And,
Yeah. And my wife, she worked with a public health nurse and a nurse practitioner.
Is she a nurse?
She's not. She just would be a part of their small little group, the three of them. And so they, I would hear her stories of her whole world of life, of helping see babies birth there in the Middle East, that whole process. I spent my time primarily with people in their late teens through mid-20s that were trying to increase their ability to actually communicate in English. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's great about that is it's all very conversational. It's a lot like what you and I are doing right now. It's actually speaking.
Do you have to be able to speak the language to teach English? It really helps. You have to speak the native or
I was
the
having
Jordanian.
This hesitation. What helps is it makes you a sympathetic, both learner and a more sympathetic teacher.
Because you see these things, these jobs, all the time in different countries teaching English.
Correct.
And I was thinking, wouldn't you need to be able to speak the native language?
When you don't speak the local language, what ends up happening is you'll typically get placed with upper and more advanced students. And one real benefit of that, students in Jordan or anywhere, they're needing sometimes someone who's bilingual to be able to help them along. Yet as they progress with their language, they definitely need native to native in that new language.
Sure.
And so when they can't rely on it, forces that learner to really negotiate meanings. And if the person can't just bump back to the other language quickly.
Having spent years in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Iraq, the things that happen around you are so important. And you're right, the meanings of words.
Yes.
And I've always said that, you know, words mean something. Well, they may mean something totally different when you're in another country. I went to one job I had in Baghdad. We were escorting some people through the film industry there, and somebody saw some guys walking out, and I had been practicing my phrase, which was, move away. And the guy was looking at me. And his head cocked, you know, kind of like the dog, you know, looks at you. And I yelled at him again, move away. And he starts dancing, and he did the moonwalk, you know, as he left. And I'm thinking, okay, that was strange. And I found out that the word I thought meant, or the phrase I thought meant move away, was start dancing.
That's why he gave
such and that's why he looked at me, and then he danced his way out. That was one of the only humorous things that happened while I was over there.
I'm glad you're going to remember it because all the pressure of living, especially as military personnel, there's constant pressure.
Some of it was military, some of it wasn't. I was able to live in Croatia. When I wasn't in the military, I was doing a contract there that I just loved living in Croatia. It was so nice. And then Linda, whose grandmother's Croatian, we went back there and we were able to go to her grandmother's village and with the, and met a lot of people that are relatives for them. Yeah. So much people need to kind of like spread their wings out there and see how other people live.
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned earlier, I'm a product of Simpson University and right on our main gate on College View Drive. It still says Gateway to World Service. And when I think about the decisions that I made, both to attend Simpson and then even career choices afterward, I look back and I don't regret them.
Yeah.
And there's when one learns a language, they learn the culture. And you can't learn the culture without learning the language, ultimately.
Yes.
And it's so much work.
It's the culture. You find that there's so many things that you have in common with people. You know, the middle class people from all over the world are pretty much the same. You know, if you look at the basic, what they're looking for. When you get up, maybe higher up, it is different. But, I mean, did you find that? And I've only got like a minute and a half left.
So I found that. And what I found was in most of my time was in Jordan, and there would be that push for people to think, you know what? I know historically my grandparents had a lot of kids. Thankfully, life expectancy is shorter now. I'm wanting to help position myself to be able to help provide those kids with a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause a country like Jordan, no real resources. They're dependent on technology jobs and engineering and education.
Okay.
Using their mind there. And so that is...
Not farming so much. No, as no. It's okay.
Because it's classic desert with a very
yeah.
little water.
Yeah.
So all of that to say, that causes people's priorities to say, how can we invest into the overall well-being and the soft skills of my both their kids and as they think about the types of job opportunities they have. It helps guide them in directions that in many ways aren't too different from the way that we do life right here in Shasta
County. Yeah, yeah. Okay, homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
Give us again real quick the dates.
Homecoming, it starts next Thursday. Choir concert. Friday is our alumni baseball game and tailgate and fireworks. And you can both, if people want to just show up and pay for the meal there, they can do it with a card and they can go to simpsonu.edu/homecoming to see our full listing, our schedule, and all the events. And on Saturday, we have both a 5K for the community and a football watch party with a ginormous screen happening at noon.
So you're going to be, we're going to be able to see the Simpson
yes,
team
take on Montana Tech.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you, Carl.
And Gene Moskey, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's been a pleasure.
Everybody, have a great day. It looks like it's going to be pretty nice. And God bless America.
Okay.
Gonna stand my ground. Won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground. And I won't.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.